12% of the hospital visits right now, emergency hospital visits, are related to gastrointestinal issues. Like, think about that. Like, people going in an ambulance to the hospital. And there's about 100 million people in America on any given day that are suffering from some form of digestive health issue. And the question is, why? Why is that happening? And the next question is how do we correct it without relying on pharmaceutical medications, which have corollary side effects down the road?
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Think Big Bodybuilding Media and Advices Radio if you are listening on audio. Guys, if you enjoy this program, hit the like button. And if you haven't subscribed, please do so. And if you hit the notification bell, you can stay up to date with everything we have coming out. Guys, I am super freaking pumped today. We have a guest of the show who's been a friend of Advices Radio for a long time now, Wade Lightheart. He knows so much about digestion and nutrition just overall that I wanted to bring him on. He's also the owner of a company you may see, and I've seen you more and more, Wade, by the way, on posts for Instagram and social media. You guys have offered all sorts of great deals on your products. BioOptimizers is the name of the company. So we're going to talk today about improving your digestive health. We're going to talk about supplements that you can use. We're going to talk about the nutrition that can benefit you. And I'm just really freaking pumped for this. Wade, we've had so much great feedback for the audio podcast you've been on. So first of all, man, thank you for being here and welcome to the show.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. It's always fun to kind of go back to my roots of being a former bodybuilder myself in the competitive nature and kind of understanding a lot of the nuances and challenges that are unique to, I would say, that culture. And it is a great culture. And it's just great to be here and to be able to serve.
I don't know how far removed you really are. It sounds like when you say that, it sounds to me like you don't lift weights anymore. You aren't partaking in the lifestyle. But I believe before we hit the record button, you were at Gold's Venice this morning, training next to Arnold Schwarzenegger. What's up with that?
Arnold was doing abs right next to me this morning, so I got to say my good mornings to Arnold. He's in there every single morning at Gold's Gym, same time I'm at, and it's kind of like my 15-year-old dream come true. Obviously, I don't have a personal relationship with him, but in my mind, we're training together next to each other, and that's the truth. Just like Arnold, that he said in 1975 when he retired and the first time in pumping iron, he says, at that time, he said, "I'll always continue training. I just stop competition." And here it is, now we're, 45 years later, and he's been true to his word. And everything I've gotten out of life, I owe to the sport of bodybuilding in many ways. It was the foundation of my company, my career, and this sort of stuff. So I always will continue to lift weights. I love it. I'm able to maintain a decent level of muscle mass, not in a competitive level, but I love the lifestyle and doing that. So yeah, I'll never stop. I don't see any reason. I think it's the most beneficial exercise methodology out there with the least amount of side effects or negativity about the impact you don't have, the joints and all that sort of, you just don't have a lot of the problems that you do in other sports like running or more ballistic sports.
Absolutely. And even at the competitive level, I mean, there are guys nowadays that are competing, for years and years and years. And yeah, maybe when you're 50 years old, you're not going to be stepping on the Olympia stage, unless maybe you're Dexter Jackson. I could see that happening. But for the rest of us,
he was in the gym the other day too.
Was he really?
Yeah, he's in there training next to me. I'm doing bench last week, so it's like, wow, this is heaven.
And this is a recent move for you, right? You're from Vancouver, right? So Canadian, and moved to America now. Is this a business move to further BioOptimizers?
Yeah, so BioOptimizers has been exploding in the last few years, and largely in part because I think it goes hand in hand with the increased in gastrointestinal related issues, digestive health issues. 12% of the hospital visits right now, emergency hospital visits, are related to gastrointestinal issues. Like, think about that. Like, people going in an ambulance to the hospital. And there's about 100 million people in America on any given day that are suffering from some form of digestive health issue. And the question is, why? Why is that happening? And the next question is how do we correct it without relying on pharmaceutical medications, which have corollary side effects down the road?
Yeah, there and there's so much, man. I want to jump off into like three different directions at once. My brain's like about to pop at the moment, so I'm just gonna I'm gonna settle down. I'll take a breath and I'll back up for anybody who didn't watch or listen to the first episodes that we have done with you. Give me a little bit of background for those listeners about your bodybuilding. I mean, you were a natural athlete and you took this all the way to like the natural Olympia or natural universe level, correct?
Well, I actually went to the Mr. Universe, IFBB Mr. Universe in 2003. So it's a supposedly a drug tested event. It was anything but I was able to kind of get there and show up on stage and, you know, get my participation trophy essentially, because obviously they're two different things, you know, tested versus non-tested. But I did I had a lot of success, and it was, that sport's given me everything, the discipline, the practice, the dietary stuff. But I did run into some digestive health issues. And after that Mr. Universe contest, because I was kind of following a traditional methodologies in bodybuilding, and if you have a high protein content in your diet is pretty dominant, you can compromise yourself, especially if you have predispositions for that. And I did. And that's what led me into start understanding a deeper level of digestive health, how to rebuild my internal intestinal tract so that I could absorb and utilize the foods that I was eating and also be able to maintain my health in the long term. And so that's when I got into enzymes and probiotics and all that sort of stuff. And now it's quite common for people to talk about it. But, you know, 2003, nobody was talking about it. So,
yeah, no, it's still, and it feels like it's still a new topic. I mean, I think probiotics, it's that is a big thing now, and you see it everywhere. Everybody knows about the existence of probiotics. I think far fewer people understand the difference between various probiotics. So I think that's something we should definitely address today. One thing I did leave out, though, was not only did you compete at that level, but you did so as a raw food vegan, correct?
Yeah, so I'll back that up. So I went and didn't do that at 03, but then I worked on my digestive health. We coached about 15,000 people, kind of learned all the parameters of how to do this in a high performance setting with people who are looking to build muscle and be lean and all that stuff. Because all the technology that was out at that time, it was more medical based for sick people. And we were looking about from a performance parameter. And that's what developed. That's why we developed the products that we did to kind of increase the assimilation and utilization of protein in the body. And then it turned out that there were some corollary benefits with the aiding and acceleration of recovery, which is now well known and documented through various scientific periodicals. And in 07, I came back as a raw food guy.
Okay.
Went through the whole gamut again because I had to requalify, do the local shows, then win a national championship, and then go to the Worlds. That was a drug tested Worlds. It wasn't the Mr. Universe at that time.
Okay.
And so I did that. And at that point, I was like, okay, you know what? I've been able to comfortably demonstrate that the principles I'm advocating and I've learned over this period of time actually work.
Yeah.
And they're applicable to people en masse. And that's when I started kind of disseminating that information to the general public and to the athletic environment.
That's so interesting, man. So I think that's interesting, you too. You said a big part of that was figuring out how to utilize the protein that you were eating. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I mean, be it a raw food vegan, which, you know, especially you're going to have a hard time getting protein in, but even for the rest of us, and I'll call myself part of the rest of us, as right. I'm a meat eater, and even as a meat eater, it can be difficult to not only consume, but then be able to absorb and assimilate and use all the protein that I'm putting in my body.
Well, that this is the big thing, and this is the thing that I discovered, inadvertently with my own health challenges, right? And that's what led me to this. And part of my mission is to kind of help remove some of the veils. We automatically assume that if I eat 100 grams of protein, let's say, or 50 grams, or 20, or whatever I eat, it's automatically absorbed and utilized inside the body, and that's not the case. The reality is it's a single canal from your mouth to your anus. So the food is in that tract. It's not inside the cells. It's not inside the muscles. It's not energy units, and it's not building blocks. And in order for it to do that, it has to go through a specific process, which is called the digestive process. That process has approximately five stages. You could break it down a little bit further, but there's basically five different stages that people have. You consume it, you chew it, you get it all up. That's the first level of breaking it down. It goes down the esophagus into the upper cardiac portion of the stomach. That's where the natural enzymes present are supposed to be breaking down. So every species on the planet, except humans, eat their food in a raw state. You know, tigers knock down zebras. They eat the entrails, which is the enzymes and probiotics. Then they eat the carcass. A bear eats blueberries in a live state. It gets the enzymes along with the protein, the essential things, or a salmon. And a horse or a cow that eats grass will go for the most enzymatically rich and probiotic rich, the sprouts down in the – that sort of stuff, that kind of components to get the enzymes. And that's what breaks down. So enzymes are required for everything from thinking to blinking. And probiotics are also an essential component. And usually they're found on the foods that we would naturally consume. Huh. But humans, what happened with us, and I'm kind of going on a tangent, but I want to get
this. That's all right. Concept. This is good.
I want to get this concept to people is, you know, starvation and nutrient deficient disease was the biggest problem facing humans throughout history. And then came the Industrial Revolution. And then after World War II, we developed mass food production and distribution through monoculture farming and distribution channels where we started to centralize. We started to create government policies about production. We started adding herbicides, pesticides, fungicides to food, fertilizers to food. We started to be able to add nitrogen to the soil in order to stimulate growth, but that dropped protein content in food. It dropped enzymatic content in food. And then we had to use all these chemicals to protect the food from pests, you know, from bugs, which were herbicides and pesticides and fungicides, which actually interrupt the enzymatic process of those organisms. That's what kills them. And we're consuming all this food and we're distributing it. So we cook it, we pasteurize it, we package it, we pasteurize it, we do all these different things in order to preserve it so it can stay in a warehouse, that it can be shipped to a store and distributed to the population. Now, we solved the calorie problem. Carbs, proteins, fats. Nobody is suffering from not having enough food nowadays, you know, what most people in the industrialized world.
Sure.
But what we are suffering from is the consequences of that food production and distribution channel is that we are now compromising some of these essential components of our digestive process. So going back to after that first stage, the enzymes are supposed to break it down. It doesn't if it's been cooked or present. Well, humans are the only people that do that. So our body has to manufacture more enzymes. And that's why humans have a pancreas that's about four times the size of any other species relative to body weight.
No kidding.
We actually have to produce more enzymes in order to break down our food. Huh. And we produce enzymes by guess what we do? We catabolize smooth and striated muscle to convert them into enzymes to break down. So what happens is a bodybuilder, we start out, we're eating maybe a regular diet, we're eating 100 grams of protein like an ordinary person. Right. And then we hit a plateau in our gains and we're like, got to up the protein, not getting enough protein. So we divide that up over five or six meals, add that extra protein in, and we see a bump. All of a sudden, hey, I put on a couple more pounds of muscle, three more pounds of muscle, four more, whatever. But you hit another ceiling. And then guys go, you know what? I'm probably not getting enough protein from my muscle. I got to up it again. So you and I are old enough that we went through kind of the more is better protein content where had guys like, I remember Nasser al-Sunbadi back in the day and kind of the golden age, that like 90s era with Dorian Yates and all that. There were guys out there eating 400 and 500 grams of protein a day, like a pound of protein, like of grams in grams, not a pound of steak or a pound of a pound of pure protein a day. And what we also saw in, you know, whey protein came out and the whole metrics thing. And if you look in, you know, EAL, like all that history of simple and easy ways to get 40, 50, 60, 75 grams. And we started loading it up. Concordantly, what did we also notice? We started to see the distended bellies. We started to see the lack of hardness inside the physiques. Now, some of that certainly is related to drug use and stuff. But I do also believe that some of it is actually made because we've changed how fast food goes through the digestive system. Huh. We start getting backups from the colon into the intestinal tract. We start getting distended stomachs. We start getting these spillover, kind of the watering the skin because we're getting inflammation and stuff that is kind of correlating because these undigested proteins are now being fed on by bacteria, and that bacteria creates all sorts of endotoxins and stuff inside her body that keeps you from having that, you know, rock hard blazes look. And you see a lot of bodybuilders started to realize we need to cut out the proteins in those last few weeks that we'd only eat real food, and people would get harder and leaner because they were less processed. So coming full circle, because I'm rambling, but I want to get through this to kind of, because I love talking to this community because it gets everybody gets this stuff, right? I mean,
I'm right with you. I know everybody else is too.
General public, they're like, what? But with our community, we can just like go right into it. So after that first 30 to 60 minutes in the intestinal or in the upper cardiac portion of the stomach, what comes in is hydrochloric acid. Now, hydrochloric acid is got 2 points. Number one, it changes the pH. Okay, so some enzymes are going to get deactivated and some are going to get activated as the pH starts to drop in that mixture. And different amino acids are actually cleaved at different pH levels. So pH and enzymes work together. And what happens if you don't have enough hydrochloric acid in your body, and this happens a lot with high protein diets, you start getting acid reflux, you start getting heartburn, you start getting these digestive related issues because you're eating so much protein, you can't produce enough hydrochloric acid. And as we age, the average 40-year-old has about 30% of the hydrochloric acid we had we were young.
Wow.
And that's why a lot of guys, as we get older, we start to notice that we get a lot more fussy about the type of foods that work with us and what doesn't. We become more sensitive. We come, you know, I can't do this protein, I can't do that. Or maybe I get tired of fish or chicken. There's all these different things. And that's because our bodies start to adapt and say, hey, we're doing too much of this and we need to switch or cycle. After that change happens, the other thing that hydrochloric acid does is it disinfects if we get viruses, bacteria, parasites, other pathogens that can interrupt our digestive process or our health or the health of our bodies. Once that mix has kind of been all mixed up and churned around, all that food will now leave the stomach, go into the intestinal tract. Now, we have to release what's called bicarbonate buffers, fancy name for alkaline minerals.
Okay.
And those minerals will buffer that acid so that we don't burn holes in our intestinal tract, because our intestinal tract isn't lined like our stomach. Our stomach can handle that high acid, our intestinal tract. So people that have gastritis or ulcers, duodenal ulcers, all this sort of stuff, it's because they're getting a spillover of the acid. Usually there's a mineral issue back there. There might be a hydrochloric acid issue. So you can kind of troubleshoot these things that could come up for people. And then you get irritated bowels, you get IBS, you get leaky gut, these type of things. When you're having too much undigested protein in there, what happens is your probiotics, this is the microbiome, which is the collection of the good, the bad, and the ugly. I always say there's 10% good, 10% bad, and 80% opportunists. And that's why sometimes when you switch diets, you'll see changes in the physique, you'll see changes in your hardness, or you'll get, you know, you'll, if it's not suiting for you, you get kind of bloated and puffy. If it is suiting you, kind of get that hard, lean, razor sharp look.
Yeah.
And that's related oftentimes to the microbiome. The other issue about that is depression. A lot of guys suffer from depression because they interrupt. If you get a dysbiosis, a disbalance of the bad guys in your bacteria, they produce toxins which actually interrupt the development of neurochemicals in our brain.
No kidding.
So very, very common in the bodybuilding world, because especially if you come off cycles and things like that, like what'll happen is you get a drop in the testosterone levels as well, which have sort of a euphoric phase.
Yeah.
And you know, you go through the psychological components of being smaller and softer and all that stuff.
Right.
But there's actually a real bacteria issue that's now contributing to how our brain and our thoughts go.
Huh.
And that can create problems because those bad guys are feeding on these undigested proteins.
Huh.
And they're
growing. So you're increasing this.
Correct.
What is for you happens to be a bacteria that's going to be non-beneficial, and you're feeding that this additional protein, and it's growing. You're saying.
That's right. And then that's causing a dysbiosis, and then you know that's when you get the proliferation of, you get a lot of gas, you get bloating, you get disaster pants, or you get constipated, like all those different things that happen to people oftentimes are related that they're not breaking down and digesting their food properly.
Okay. So let me stop you here then. If that's, unless was there
a, and then the final stage.
Do that. Go ahead.
The final stage is once it goes through that area where the bacteria works and they convert it either to energy units or building blocks, if you got the right bacteria going on, the final stage is this peristaltic contraction and you flush out the waste out of the system. And the time, the transit time of the food through the body, that also can be affected by things like growth hormone. Hmm. When you take high levels of GH, for extended period of times, it can actually increase the transit time of food. And that's also one of the contributors why people will get bloated bellies and stuff, because they're actually got more food sitting in their guts than they did before. And so understanding these mechanisms are ways that you can kind of get that back. So, you know, if you talk to like guys like Palumbo and those guys who were well known for, I think there's a thing called Palumboism.
Yeah.
But now his belly seems to be back down to relatively small levels. He's not at that kind of super physiological dosages. So it's not all the stories about intestinal growth and all that sort of stuff. So I think it's just some of it's just packed up shit.
I could totally see that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. So growth hormone will delay gastric emptying. It's going to, or it may slow that down.
May slow that down. And then that's what also one of the reasons why you get that interaction between like, IGF-1 and insulin resistance and sort of stuff. And so, you know, if you look in, and I always say, look at the physiques. If you look at the age, like when Dorian Yates and those guys, before he made the ginormous leap.
Yeah.
Like you remember when he first came on the scene and he was challenging Haney and then Haney retired, the hardness of those guys in that 90s area. And then the size exploded.
Sure.
Right. And what I see is right there, as you saw, that's when the rise of GH, IGF-1 and insulin, I think, started to proliferate in particular in higher and higher dosages.
Absolutely.
And so you saw more mass, but I don't think you saw an increase in actual quality in relation. And I do relate it's part drugs, but I think it's also part emptying of the digestive system.
Man, this is amazing stuff. This is the stuff. Yeah, I'm fascinated by everything we're going through here. Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends, and they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com, and use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows. And I'm going to back us up just a little bit. So, because I feel like where we want to get to is to look at, you know, how we can help ourselves through supplementation. But before we get there, I know that the foundation is going to be food in nutrition. So we have all these unhealthy foods that are available to us. We're trying to pack all this food into our bodies so that we can grow. We run into issues. I mean, you're telling the story of my own life personally. You know, I pushed and pushed and pushed. My limiting factor was my digestive system. And I've seen that for a lot of other people. What do we do to fix this nutritionally?
Yeah. And so first, thank you for bringing that up. And I noticed that way back in the day, too, as you started. Do you remember when Perillo came in?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And he started adding these like massive amounts of calories into the diets. And then if you followed, and you know, MCTs, those were the real guys that got into MCT and the fats and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I forget what his two guys he had, Mike, the big bodybuilder, the powerlifting guy that won all the championship, Mike Francis.
Okay.
what did he develop? He developed digestive related illnesses. And then he had the other fellow. What was it? He was a really top guy. He ended up developing cancer, leukemia or something like that.
Okay.
Couple of top guys. And I started to notice that people that were doing these massive calorie programs in conjunction with their training in drug stacks started to run into intestinal problems. And then this started happening on the amateur level in local shows and things like that. I started to see guys having problems digestively. And what happened is because we were creating super physiological demands on the bodybuilding, you know, I mean, it's not normal for people to carry 250 pounds of muscle on a 5'8 or 5'9 frame.
Sure.
It's normal in the competitive bodybuilding world.
Right.
Okay. And that's cool. But not understanding that one of the limiting factors is how you're breaking that food down and distributing into your body and getting rid of the waste product so that you weren't creating all of these kind of toxins inside the system that were compromising and leading to various conditions like IBS or distended gut or leaky gut syndrome or depression or skin problems and all these type of things that kind of happen. Those are all indicators of a deeper issue, and it's usually related to digestion.
Okay, so food-wise, what can we do? You find yourself in this position. You know, in the best way I can explain it is, and I look at older pictures of myself, and I see my midsection, and I see it, what I would call inflammation. And I've seen it in a lot of people. It's just like a very inflamed feeling when you're just pushing and pushing and pushing the foods. So the one answer would be, you know, stop eating so much. But what if that's, you know, not what we're looking, that's, what if that's not the answer we're looking for here?
Well, you know, I experimented with a lot of things, trying to figure this puzzle out, you know, 15 years ago, 16, I was getting up there 17 years ago now, Jesus, and it took me 4 years to figure things out. One of the things that I did is I tried to, make sure that I was eating as much real food as possible. Food that was free of pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides, because that interrupts enzymatic activity, which is an essential component. It interrupts microbiome bacteria cultures. Okay, like those things are anti-life. And that aside, also, if people, and it's not so common inside the bodybuilding community, but antibiotics and things like that really play havoc with the digestive system, as do antifungals. That a lot of guys will be taking some kind of antifungal for hair loss. Disaster for the digestive health system. So a couple caveats. There could be some medical interaction. I'm not giving medical advice, but sure. Just if you're on those things, really look in and check the research of how it can interrupt digestion. Eat as many organically grass-fed meat products if that's what you're consuming, or you know, organic free-range ages, and real food tends to do better than a lot of the powdered foods or those type of things. If you are using powdered foods, I think if you can get, like, you know, buy premium, don't buy the cheap shit, buy the good stuff, take the time, you know, get the grass-fed stuff, get the, if you want to try some plant-based, I'd work a little bit of plant-based proteins in and make sure you get enough fiber. One of the big issues when you're taking high protein contents, I think if you look in nature, we have fiber is almost always paired with protein in the vegetable world.
Okay.
The other thing is, if you're eating a bodybuilding diet, you know, if you've got your steaks and your carbs, or your steak or your meats and your fats, whichever kind of methodology, if you're on a low carb or medium carb or high carb diets, what I think a lot of people avoid is not getting enough of those cruciferous vegetables or those type of things to basically, number one, slow down the rapid uptake of protein. So like with the powders, what happens is you oftentimes get a very high insulin spike from them, because they cross. They're kind of like they're kind of like the crack cocaine of protein. They go in the system you go in the system really quickly, but it creates these insulin spikes and then these drops, and that leads to kind of hunger. And some of that protein doesn't get digested. It kind of, if you think about leaving a protein shake in a cup, you know, leave it out in the gym for the day. And what's going on?
You got to throw that protein shaker away is what's going on.
Now, if you go into a bodybuilding gym anywhere and somebody drops a bomb in the toilet there, you're like, Jesus, man, somebody's dying.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's going on inside your body. Same thing that's happening in that cup. at 98.6 degrees left outside, you're drying that goop out that's undigested inside your system.
Ooh.
And that's going to create a problem. Bacteria feed on it, and that's what produces that smell. And it's obviously something we got to do. So you want to create enough fiber. You want to divide your meals up. You want to eat real food. You want to get the chemicals off the food, the preservatives and dyes that also. So if you can get now they have a lot of meat delivery programs there's a lot of programs that are out there. You can get right from the farmer, right from the source. You can get great stuff. Farmers markets and things like that, where you can really get clear about what kind of what your food is eating for food.
Yeah.
And what agents have been added, because they add a lot of antibiotics as well to a lot of the food that you're buying in the grocery store. So here you are putting all this time, effort into your dietary program.
Yeah.
Right. You're selecting great meats. You're selecting great foods. You know, that's what I love about bodybuilders. They're so meticulous about, you know, the food science, but they're not looking into, you know, Is my chickens getting injected with antibiotics?
Yeah.
Because you're eating those antibiotics, and those antibiotics are killing the bacteria inside your system that you need to absorb and utilize your protein.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't know this. And so you have to go one step further and find the source of your food production. And when you do that across the board, when people start just making those changes about the quality that they're bringing into their diets, inadvertently, stomachs get tighter. Digestive sure. improves, you know, all those things start to benefit. So that's stage one, you know, 101 of that process, right? Real food, divided dosage, lots of fiber, and make sure that you're looking to remove as many chemical agents, if not all chemical agents that have been added to that food. Because, you know, bodybuilders, we use chemical agents, let's face it. And the reality is you want to make sure that you know these advents to your training. You want to make sure that you're aware of all of the potential contraindications of everything, including what's coming in your food, so that you can get precise about your testosterone levels, about your estrogen levels, about your, you know, your insulin response inside the body, and how you actually digest your food and optimize your digestive system. Because ultimately, like you said, how many amino acids you can actually get to your trained muscles are going to make a difference in the long term about your speed of recovery and the speed of your growth, and obviously the how far you can actually take that. And so that's the first stage, is to deal with it.
Okay, so let's due to time constraints, I could keep going here, and I would love to get into talking about carbohydrates and fats, but let's just stick with protein, because I think that's such a big focus for us, any of the physique sports when it comes to developing muscle. So we're going to focus on the quality of our protein source. We're going to work on, you know, getting fiber in, and we're going to do everything that you had said. Supplementally, what could be beneficial to us through it? Now, I remember the last time we spoke, you said that the two, there's a kind of a 1-2 punch effect from using a probiotic and a digestive enzyme. That I asked you, I remember saying, you know, what would be the single most important. And your answer was that they really both are to help improve digestion supplementally. Can you talk to this, please?
Yeah, I would actually even go one step further, that what we've found in the last probably year and a half in the bodybuilding community, because thank you for bringing this message out to your community. We're finding more and more people in the bodybuilding world that are really getting into their digestion. And there's three areas that you can go wrong in that digestive process that I broke down. Number one, you don't have enough enzymes, particularly proteolytic enzymes. Proteolytic enzymes are the enzymes that break down your proteins and convert them into the amino acids that your body requires. And there's three types of proteases, 3.0, 4.5, and 6.0.
Okay.
Those proteases in, why they give those numbers is because they work within the pH range. So 3 will go down to about 2, up to about 4 to 4.5. 6 will go from 4.5 to about 7, and 4.5 will go from 4.5 down to 3 and up to almost 6, and then 6 goes down to 4.5 and up to around 8. So you're breaking down the amino acids in that first stage of digestion, all of the amino acids, because if you don't cleave some of those big amino acids at first, then it you're getting incomplete proteins in the bottom, and your body's going to have to pull from smooth muscle or from striated muscle. So that's why there's a diminishing, if you look at the S curve, what happens for protein, eating protein and getting more gains, there's a kind of a point where it hits the limit. Yeah. And that's why, because you actually have to break down muscle to create enough enzymes in order to digest your food.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So I believe, and this is a theory, and I'm hoping one day to be able to prove this in a scientific area. And that is that there is an inverse ratio between your enzymatic potential, your ability to break down proteins, and the amount of muscle and recovery that you can have, you know, outside of all the hormonal enhancements.
Sure. Yeah. Huh. Okay.
Okay. So that's stage one. Second stage is, and if you're having acid reflux, if you're getting gas a lot, if you're having heartburn, chances are you're not producing enough hydrochloric acid.
Mm.
Okay. So that's the second phase. And what we've found is a lot of people, they're okay with the absorption. They just don't have enough HCl inside their body. So they're not killing off the bad guys. They're not producing enough, and they're getting this gas, bloating, and heartburn. So if you're having that, HCl is probably the product for you.
It's so funny, man, because I mean, to think, you know, the way we're trained is that if you are having acid reflux, you take something to buffer that, to stop the acid production, to block it. We want a proton pump inhibitor. We want to take Tums. We want to stop this from happening. And I mean, I had been trained to think that all my life. I've used all of your products. I had a bottle of HCl sitting on the shelf, unopened, for about a year, because I was afraid that would I want to put more acid in my stomach? It's the opposite of what I wanted.
And I've got a simple test that everybody can do, and to find out if they have enough hydrochloric acid. This will take 2 minutes, and you'll be able to know if you have that issue. So what you do is you take a half teaspoon of baking soda. You dump that in 4 ounces of water, stir it up, and drink it. If you burp within 5 minutes, you can set a timer. If you burp within 5 minutes, you don't have enough hydrochloric acid inside your body.
Huh.
If you get the 5 minutes and don't burp, you're producing enough hydrochloric acid.
Huh.
And so this is an issue that tends to happen as we get older. And so that's a simple and easy test that anybody can test. And like you said, the medical community has given us proton pumps. And the reason why they do that is because what happens, there's a sphincter on the top of the esophagus that stays open. And when you get enough hydrochloric acid, it closes down.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the acid doesn't split up. When you don't have enough acid, what happens is it stays open, and some of the hydrochloric acid splashes up and creates the heartburn, or gets the esophageal sphincter, you know, esophagus burning, and these type of things, or you get the burps and the acid reflux and that stuff. So that's how you can tell if that's working or not. And hydrochloric, you take 1 or 2 caps of hydrochloric acid after your meals, problem goes away.
I can attest to it, because that bottle sat there, like I said, for a year or so. And then I had an issue where I started getting acid reflux, and I can't remember what I was doing at that time, but I said, okay, this is the day I pull the trigger. And I started using the product with my meals, and boom, instant. It was literally instantly within that meal, the next meal, it stopped. So there's no question in my mind, but it took me I knew what you had said. I understood the science behind this, yet to actually follow through and do it. I was resistant. I got to tell you, man.
Well, you know, us bodybuilders, right? We're just that way. We're resistance trainers. And then the final stage.
You're allowed one bad pun per episode.
That's right. I know my limit. So, the final piece is having probiotics that have proteolytic activity. Proteolytic means that it actually can break down protein, and so. We developed a particular probiotic. We took L. plantarum, which is a very aggressive strain of probiotics. And what we did is we followed a philosophy, because I wanted to build more muscle. I mean, at this time, you had to realize is I was eating 85 grams of protein a day. It was all I could get on a plant-based diet and competing at world championships.
Yeah.
So I'm not getting much protein. I got to get every freaking gram out of this. And so what we did is we put this probiotic this L-plantarum inside a toxic waste that would kill it. But we ran a sine wave through the toxic waste so that these guys could survive. And the ones that survived, what we did is then we grew those on specific medians. They literally mutated, and they mutated in a way that they could actually digest and absorb proteins.
So it's basically like you made it. You took like the super soldiers of this particular. Okay.
We call it the Navy SEALs of probiotic, and we got a patent on that. And that patent demonstrates that it has proteolytic activity. It's antiviral. It's antiretroviral. It'll digest tumors, and it is maintainable in the gastrointestinal tract, which a lot of probiotics aren't. So, and the same thing when we developed Masszymes, our enzyme product, we developed it in it so that we've got five different types of proteins, those three main ones, 17 different enzymes. So it'll break down carbs, it breaks down fats, it breaks down plant matter, it breaks down dairy products, it breaks down malt products, it breaks down anything.
Yeah.
And we actually put that video where it breaks down a steak. We put the enzymes and the probiotics together, and we literally break down a steak on camera. I mean, go find enzymes and probiotics that can do it. Because we wanted bodybuilder type. We wanted super guys that could break down our proteins. And so that combination of the Masszymes, the HCL, and the P3M will correct 99% of the digestive health issues there. It'll get, and now we've got some research that's demonstrating that the healing of wounds, the healing of contusions, when you take high levels of proteolytic enzymes, go from things like, 15 days to 2 days. And so, and one of my secrets when I was at 85 grams of protein a day so I could maintain competitiveness was I started taking 100 enzymes a day. That was my, that was my quote unquote legal steroid stack that I could get past thing. It's not a steroid,
right?
But it was beyond the protein, the enzymes were accelerating the recovery of my muscles.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So we're reducing muscle inflammation and soreness and things like that. Cause enzymes are required for everything from thinking to blinking, and reducing inflammation on proteolytic enzymes is a key component.
Okay. So talk to me now. I think this is a good spot to talk about just probiotics in general. You know,
yes.
We see probiotics everywhere. I've seen supplements. I've seen protein powders that contain probiotics. Everybody, if my mom knows about it, and I love my mom, so I got to say that. But if my mom knows about a supplement, it's pretty damn mainstream at this point. And with that comes a lot of BS. So can you explain to us, what do people want to look for in a good quality probiotic?
Yeah. One of the beautiful things is you need to be able to know that it's maintainable in the gastrointestinal tract. Where probiotics are going to have their biggest effect is in the intestinal tract. And in order for a probiotic to be operational there, it has to be able to survive that high acidic environment. And one of the big caveats that are happening inside the probiotic industry is there's a lot of Me Too products. Mm. They basically see literature, which is almost all the literature is on single probiotic strains that have been tested at super physiological dosages to elicit the response. And then, ABC company comes along and says, well, I'm going to take a little bit of that stuff, put some magnesium stearate on it so it sits on the shelf for 3 years, and feed that to people because I have this research that says that, lacto-whateverous is going to work for that person. And the reality is the individual who's not educated in, probiotics and stuff like that, they're getting their education from, bro science type things. They see that, this type of bacteria does that. But the product they're actually consuming on that shelf will never survive, probably dead before it got there, and are not able to be utilized. So you want something that's shelf stable, because the ones that require refrigerating, I'm in the supplement industry. You're going to manufacture that. You're going to ship that to a warehouse. That warehouse is going to ship to that agency, to that store that you're going to buy it in. The chances of that temperature changing, a 1 degree change in that bacteria temperature is going to double the motility, and they're going to eat up the prebiotics inside it and die off.
Because it's alive. If it's alive, it's active when it's in a refrigerator. You've told me this before. If anybody's heard the previous conversations we've had, then you know this. And to me, this is something that really stuck with me. This is mind blowing, because I think I walk in the supplement store, I see that refrigerator over there with the fish oils and with the probiotics, and I think to myself, that's got to be the good stuff. If you keep that in the refrigerator, that's got to be the good stuff. But yeah, like reality is, I've worked in a warehouse before. I get what it's about. I get the logistics of making this product, shipping this product. It's sitting on the floor while the stock person, takes his lunch break. All these variables, I never thought about that, but that makes such logical sense that as this is happening, this is active. So explain to me what the other option is. What's the benefit, or how does a shelf stable one work differently?
Yeah. So what you do is you actually freeze dry the probiotics. And so you've put it kind of like the Han Solo, you're encased in carbon. you literally slow down the life. So they're literally kind of like almost in a coma. And then you put enough prebiotics inside that. So there's feed for these bacteria. So they've slowed down their mobility. Now, as soon as that enters into your body, where it's wet and warm, these things come back to life, because now the conditions, bacteria are just, they're so fantastic. They're the most versatile organisms on the planet. There's nothing even close to bacteria actually in the universe. They grow in 30,000 degree temperatures. They fly through space on asteroids and go to other planets. Bacteria, like when you get into this, I mean, these things are amazing what they can live in the different environments. They find them, you know, miles under the Arctic ice surviving. They find them on vents down at the bottom of the ocean. Bacteria are extremely adaptable. They're the oldest organisms on the planet. So they've got all these mechanisms to adapt. And that's why if you manipulate them right, you can kind of freeze them and then bring them back to life with the prebiotics. The one thing you want to avoid the silicon dioxides, the magnesium stearates, these kind of preservatives. So when you're looking on the labels, if they got that, throw it away. It's garbage. You know that those people are building a product based on profit, not on performance. And so that's a good indicator. Freeze dried. The other thing, and a great test you can do, is when you get your probiotics that you buy from wherever, take a few of them, break them open, put them in like coconut water, and add a little bit of honey.
Okay.
Inside that, right? And you should, and put it at, you know, a temperature, the warmer the temperature, the better. Like if you could get up around body temperature, around 98 degrees, they should start to see that ferment. You start to see it ferment and foam, and then it'll get kind of a sour flavor to that mixture, really? You know, with maybe 24, 36 hours. Okay. That's a good indication that you've got live bacteria. You'll actually start to see a scum form, or you'll see it start to grow. If that's happening, you know that you've got a live and active bacteria that's going to help you. So that's another little test that you can do with your probiotics. I actually advocate for people to, if they purchase our probiotics, I said, go get yourself some coconuts, mix up the coconut meat, take the coconut water, blend that all together. You can add a little bit of honey to kind of accelerate the process, because they'll eat up that sugar as well, and then they'll start to grow rapidly.
Interesting.
And that'll ferment. I use mason jars, ferment it up or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you could just eat that fermented yogurt. You're actually making your own yogurt in your house. You're getting way more probiotics, so it really brings the value for you.
Huh.
And I find a lot of guys have found once you get it fermented, you put it in the fridge, put a lid on it so it doesn't continue to ferment and go rancid.
Yeah.
And then at nighttime before you go to bed, just get a big spoon and eat a few scoops of it, or mix it in your last meal of the day, and you're going to see a big difference in your digestive health.
That is crazy. So I know that, you know, there's so many different probiotics. They do so many different things. Can you talk about your product and talk about it? It's called P3M, correct?
Yeah, P3OM.
P3OM. Okay.
Yeah,
can you
talk
to me specifically about what it does with protein? Because that's something I found interesting. I had no understanding of the importance of clearing protein until I talked to you.
Yeah. So we designed it, as we said, we put it through that rigid Navy SEAL program so that we knew it would survive the gastrointestinal tract. And that was actually proven in the patent. So I don't make these claims. The patent, when you get a patent, it has to show scientifically that it's able to do what it is, those statements that I made earlier. And the second thing is it breaks down protein. It also breaks down sugar too. It'll eat up excess sugar. But the protein is the area that the bodybuilders are dealing with, because if you've got undigested proteins in your intestinal tract, that's what leads to all the problems. These guys go in, break down those proteins, and they go off and they kill the pathogenic bacteria that feed on it. So they eat those guys, they eat the protein, they convert that into the amino acids, they transport it through the gut, that allows you to not get the inflammation, not get the leaky gut, not get the bloated belly. And you know, it's been beautiful. And I designed it to literally to solve my own problems. You know, I got all those problems. I gained 42 pounds of fat and water after the Master Universe contest.
No kidding.
I blew up like a, yeah. And I felt terrible. My skin broke out. I had sleep apnea. I had all the edema. I met a doctor. He taught me about this. That's when I got the whole program and worked things out. It took me 4 years to figure this out. And now we've optimized it and we've been sharing it ever since.
That is freaking awesome. You know, and I put the product to the test too. I know that your suggestions are to use it before bed. You take this, correct? Yeah. You take this before bed. Can you explain to me why this is? I've tested it that I feel clear in the morning. And this isn't, yes. Like, guys, I want to tell you too, this isn't a sales pitch. You know, I talked to Wade, I think it was maybe a couple of years ago the first time. And I've used this probiotic now for this entire period of time. And I can tell you that I've dosed it up higher before I go to bed at night. The next morning, I do wake up and I feel clear. And that's something you told me would happen.
Yeah. And what that is anytime that you have the crust coming out of your eyes, or you have the brain fog in the morning, or you have bad breath, what's happening is those are toxins that have been produced by bad bacteria. And the beauty of the L. plantarum P3OM, you know, that super strain that we've built, is that it eats up that undigested protein in the intestinal tract, and the bad guys eventually starve themselves out and can't live in it. And what happens is now you're not producing those toxins. So when you wake up in the morning, you wake up clear because you don't have the brain fog. These guys don't just stay in the intestinal tract. They actually get into the bloodstream and will break up undigested protein in the blood. And that's what clears up the brain fog, because you don't have like undigested proteins or endotoxins or that's produced by these bacteria going into your brain that creates the brain fog, that creates the confusion, that breaks the, oh, I don't feel like getting out of bed. And usually within 30 to 60 days of taking these things at night, you get those guys working while you're sleeping, while you're recovering, and while you're resting, and while you're growing your muscles, and your proteins are going to your muscles, not being lying around in your blood, coagulating your blood. And you can also check using live cell analysis. If you've ever done that, you can go in and you can actually see after a protein meal, your blood cells will actually coagulate and get all kind of stuck together, and you get Rolos and stuff. Well, when you start making sure that you're really hydrated, making sure that you've got your bacteria in ulcer, you start to see those cells separate, and that you're actually you're not getting that sluggishness inside your blood, that where the blood gets thick from undigested proteins, which is really common in the bodybuilding community. And as you do that, you feel lighter, you feel fresher, you need less sleep, you get better gains.
That's so cool, man. That's so cool. I wish we were about out of time here. I think I could probably take this for probably the next 40 minutes. So we'll have to cut it here shortly. Can I ask you though, what is in the future now for Bio-Optimizers? I love this company. You guys, you know, you've built something out of your own necessity, your needs, and it's something that I know you've targeted and focused on helping a lot of people with, you know, serious health conditions. At the same time, I can say that, you know, as a nutrition coach, I have a number of clients that use your products. I can tell you that I know a number of listeners that successfully use your products, including IFBB pros. So it's something that I'm so happy to have met you, and I'm so grateful that you've taken what you needed to figure out for yourself. You've turned that into a passion, and now you are helping a lot of other people. So what is next for Bio-Optimizers?
Yeah, it's exciting times at Bio-Optimizers. We got a couple things. We, of course, for most people don't know, people on the ketogenic diet, we developed a specific enzyme formulation that breaks down fats, four different lipases.
Okay.
So it breaks down all of the fats, plus the famous our proteolytic enzyme blend inside that. We also have it. It's an energy. It actually drives the fats into the cell and improves mitochondrial function with the 7-keto DHEA in that one. So people get more energy out of it. I take four of those in the morning. I'm not on a ketogenic diet, but I get an energy boost without the stimulants from caffeine. We also developed a magnesium product is our latest one. You're going to hear that drop on the Dave Asprey podcast next month. We actually sold out of it. We had to push the podcast back because it's gotten so popular.
No kidding.
Seven different types of magnesium, because one of the big issues is a lot of people don't sleep enough. We don't get enough magnesium. If you go back to Charles Poliquin, one of his secrets to training all those gold medalists was he was using a variety of different magnesiums to support their heart, to support their nervous system, to support muscle growth and support brain function and mitochondrial energy production. We actually, we're the only company in the world that created seven different of the best magnesiums in that product. That's a runaway hit. Nice. I'll send you some. You can play with it.
I'd love to check it out.
That'll
Thank
be
you.
Great. And then we've got a bunch of other things like we got a parasite elimination, a Constaclean stuff. We're coming out with a Cognibiotic product that improves a neurotransmitter production to improve your moods combined with Chinese herbal medicines, with the Chinese herbal medicines. There's a neuroscientist. We combine those. Makes you feel happy all the time. I love that product. Can't wait to release it. And then we have a gut sealant, one for vegetarians and one for meat eaters, so that we can for people that are suffering from leaky gut. That's coming out in the very near future as well. So we're really excited about these products. We do a lot of testing, a lot of research, going back to our bodybuilding roots. And we've got a kind of group of people that we experiment, we get their feedback, we tweak it, we come back, we get the best guys we can. And, you know, we don't make the least expensive products. We make products that work. Yeah. And anybody that tries anything from us, if it doesn't work for them, they're not blown away by them, let us know. We give you all your money back. Just really that simple. It's like we take the risk away because we believe that we need to earn your money. And there's nothing worse than a product that doesn't work for a person. Yeah. So we're like, we just take the risk away. We back it up and we have great customer service. And we're just honored that guys like you are spreading the message out there. There's no need to suffer from digestive issues. There's no need to go through this. And if you don't address these issues, the complications that happen later on in life are significant and severe. And the idea is that we want to be in the gym at 75 years old, breaking records, feeling great. And that's my long-term goal now from my own bodybuilding roots to where we are today. So it never left, and it's part of the driving message of, you know, higher, bigger, faster, stronger, higher, better, you know?
That's so cool, man. And listen, I have to ask one more question. Back in the day, back when competitive bodybuilding was your main focus, just out of curiosity, would you ever have seen yourself where you are right now? You know, being in my 40s now, I look at my life and I see the paths that I've taken. You're in a pretty cool place, man. Would you have seen this for you?
You know what? I'm going to tell you a really great story. Thank you for asking me that question. I'm glad you did. Most people don't. When I was 15 years old, I was living at, it was 5 miles from my nearest neighbor that I built my gym, my first gym in a barn. I would go out there in a snowmobile suit when it was 40 below training in up in Canada. And I was reading magazines, Muscle and Fitness and Flex magazine, and watching Terminator Terminator wasn't even out then. I was watching Conan the Barbarian every week, and Arnold Schwarzenegger became my mentor and god. He said, you need three things. You need hard work, self-discipline, and a positive attitude. And I never heard anything about it. And bodybuilding, it was a very difficult time in my life, gave me some area that I could control, some area that I could see progress. And you know what? When you're making progress with yourself, I could learn things and I could apply it and I could push through the pain and push through the challenges and I could learn about nutrition. And every week my parents used to ask me, they used to say, "Wait, why are you doing this? I don't understand. This is crazy. You're going out into the barn. You're lifting weights. Why are you listening to this crazy guy from Austria and what's going on?" And I said, "I'll tell you why. Because one day I'm going to compete in the Mr. Universe contest. One day I'm going to own my own supplement company. And one day I'm going to be talking about this on the world and living in Venice Beach, California.
You're kidding.
Running my company, helping other people and making a difference in the world." And this morning I was in Venice Beach, California. Arnold Schwarzenegger is training next to me. We've got a company that's supporting the world. And I said, yes, dreams come true. Never give up on your dreams. Never stop. Use that things that you learn in bodybuilding. Apply it to every area of your life, your relationships, your work, anything else that you're doing. And you can take the principles of bodybuilding, which is one of the purest sports there ever was created, and follow the lead that Arnold, the greatest goal achiever ever, and apply anything in life. And I'll tell you, that's the best part about bodybuilding. Every bodybuilder I know, particularly after their competitive career, when they apply the bodybuilding principles to their life, they can achieve anything. And I'm surrounded by those people here. And it's a great sport. It's a beautiful sport. It's a powerful sport. And most people on the outside don't understand it. And everybody on the inside gets it. I'm just here to encourage them to take those principles and apply it in every area of their life.
I love that, man. I love that. And I could not agree more. Where can people find everything that you're doing? Bio-Optimizers, the company itself, we have an affiliate link, which I'm going to put in the show notes. But if they want to hear about upcoming events, other podcasts that you're going to be on, how can they find out about all this stuff?
Yeah, they just go to bioptimizer.com, and our Instagram stuff or Facebook stuff, it's all that sort of stuff. I'm not a big social media guy, but I got people that do that for me. We have the Awesome Health Podcast, which is I just interview people that kind of interest me. You know, they're not out of the bodybuilding world. They're just on the performance or medical or just people that applying to regular stuff. But yeah, that's what we're doing and spreading the message. And, you know, guys like you are really making a difference. And I salute you. And I'm so grateful that for our friendship and our relationship. And I'm happy to help out and just do my little piece in the world to make all our community a little bit better, a little bit stronger.
All right. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you, Wade. Guys, for another episode here at Think Big Bodybuilding Media and Advices Radio. If you are listening on audio, check out the show notes for all the details on Wade and on bio optimizers. Thanks a lot, Wade. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much.